Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Listen to that. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That is the first commandment with a blessing attached to it, a guaranteed blessing. You'll do this, this is what's going to happen. God will bless you for honoring your father and mother. Didn't say if they were good. Didn't say if they were the greatest father or mother. It said honor them. Jesus echoed this in Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy and mother. Honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father and or mother, let him die the death. Wow. Jesus now, he was giving the word of Moses. That was the law of Moses. For God commanded, this is Jesus saying, he's referring to what Moses had written. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Ooh, serious, isn't it? Brother Mick, would you pray over the message this morning?
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Amen. I'm going to talk about Jochebed this morning. Jochebed. Anybody know who that is? Moses' mom. Thank you. Jochebed. And her name means, let me look at her name. Her name means Jehovah is her glory. All right? That's what her name means. Jehovah is her glory. It also means glorious or honorable. Honorable. Jochebed. Jehovah is her glory, and Jehovah is her honor. So Jochebed. So mothers of honor. That's what I want to talk about. Mother of honor. You know, we got medals for men of honor, you know, in the war. There's a medal of honor for those guys and gals that go beyond the call of duty, that do the extraordinary things in battle to bring the victory, to save comrades. And a medal of honor is, I guess, Brother George, that's the highest honor you could get in the military, isn't it? And probably in our country, that would be the highest honor as far as what the government or military could give out, is the Medal of Honor. Well, this morning, we want to talk about mothers of honor and what a Medal of Honor they are when they live for the Lord and serve the Lord and do that is right. You know, a lot of times, sometimes we get started late in life, don't we? We allow things to happen. Maybe we've not come in contact with God early in our lives. We go through things as fathers, mothers, as people. And it's later in life that we get saved. And if we're not careful, the devil will try to use that against us to knock us down, beat us up, and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, look at all the time you wasted. And look at the opportunities with your children you wasted. Listen, God's not pointing at your past, holding that over your head. So don't you let the devil do it. All right? I thank God that we get saved when we get saved. And if you got saved at 80, 85 years old, bless you. You got in at the right time. Yeah. And so don't let the devil bring up your past, because God's not doing that to you. And that's the work of the enemy. And even when we get saved later in life, the Lord is able to help us to reach out to our children, our family, and show them that we love them. And it's not beyond us as men and women of God, as parents, both men and women, to be able to quickly say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't do this. You know, I'm sorry that I made that mistake. I'm sorry that I talked to you that way. I'm sorry that I acted that way 10 years ago. I'm sorry. That's what we do, because we're in love with Jesus. We're not afraid to admit our wrongs, and we're quick to try to make things right. But we can't go back and change that past. But we can change how we are today, how we live for the Lord from this day forward. Isn't that right? Amen. And so here, you know, the law was being given in Exodus 20, verse 12, and it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. honoring them, showing them honor. There's a lot of ways that we can do that. And but one of the ways is not only saying I love you, but in our actions that we take. You can say all day long, I love you, Mom. I love you, Mother. You're wonderful. You're a wonderful mother. But if you don't listen to what she has to say, if you're disrespectful to her in your attitude toward her, if you're quick to cut her down or talk hateful to her, you're not honoring your mother. You're doing the very opposite. You say that you honor her, but you do not honor her with your action. Well, it doesn't, you know, moms, you don't know how mean Mom is. You don't know how bad she's done this or done that. You showing her honor is the right thing to do. It doesn't mean you praise her for bad action. But what it does mean is that you give her the honor and respect as your mother that you should. You can love your mother. You may not love her actions. You may not love her ways. She may be an outlaw out there. You might be the son or daughter to Bonnie and Clyde. You might not love their action, but you can still and should and supposed to, biblically speaking, show them honor as a father and a mother. Doesn't mean you condone that action, but you honor them. We got to be careful how we answer our father or our mother. We got to be careful how we talk to them. Yeah, you know, you need to learn how to be quiet with your smart mouth about smarting off to Mom. Yeah, and Dad, you got to be careful about that. You know, I've seen kids do it. They weren't a smart mouth. I tried that just a couple times, and looking back, I don't think it was all that bad. But it's bad enough that my dad intervened. And I remember coming down. We were visiting from Indianapolis. We came to Berea, Kentucky. I mean, that was like the most wonderful thing in the world that we could do, is for us to come here to Berea. And we went out to see my sister and brother-in-law, Pat and Harry. We got there, and I was excited about being on the farm, and I wanted to run around in the yard. I'd been cooped up in the car for 4 hours, and Dad drove the speed limit, so it was a good 4 hours. And so I was wanting to express my freedoms and run and jump and play with the dogs and that kind of thing. And so they were going in the house, and Mom said, come on, son, we're going in. And I said, I don't want to. That's all I said. I may have said it smart. Probably did, I guess. I don't know. All I know is the next thing, Dad's got me by the shirt, crunched it up. My dad, if you knew my dad, he's a peace-loving man. He ain't violent. He's not rough. Never seen nothing ill or bad out of him. But he grabbed me by the shirt, pulled me up close, pointed his finger. Actually, I think he kind of made a fist. And he said, you're going to mind your mama. You're going to do what she tells you. And I said, okay. That's it. Never struck me. Dad whipped me a few times, not many, but that's it. And I went in the house because I wasn't going to challenge that. He scared me. Never seen that out of Dad before. Obviously, he'd been seeing a little bit out of me, and he's going to deal with that. And I'm glad for that. That didn't scar me for life. And my dad gave me some whippings. That didn't scar me. Mama gave me whippings. Mom made me cut my own switches. Anybody ever have to do that? Yeah, cut your own switch. That's torture right there, isn't it? And all today, they want to lock us up for stuff like that. Oh, I wouldn't go back and change none of that. The only thing I'd change is I'd probably... I don't know if I'd want to change it or not, but I should have got more whippings. I'm glad I didn't, I guess, but I wouldn't go back and change none of that. I might change how I acted. I'd have done better, but, you know, we're kids. But I don't regret none of that. And so I honor my mother for the whippings that I got, my pop for the whippings that I got. My dad quoted scripture. I mean, he was all about Jesus when he was giving me whippings. I just didn't understand that. You know, going down that hall. One time, I remember going down that hall. I'm following him. He's taking his belt off. Son, the Bible said, be sure your sins find you out. Don't know where that's at, but I know it's in there because Dad quoted it to me when he's going to give me a whipping. Be sure your sins find you out. That's horrible, man. But, you know, Mom and Dad, you know what? I honor them for that life that they gave me. And we as parents are to give our children a fighting chance at life. Mothers, here this morning, you're blessed. Beyond our imagination because of the way God looks at you and He honors you. So much so that the very first commandment with blessing, it was all about you and how your children should treat you. So young people, us that are sons and daughters, let us honor our father and our mother. Let us be careful about being smart mouthed to them, how we handle them. Even when they're having a bad day, we should still show them honor. You know, in the law of Moses, honestly, it was that if a child disrespected their parents in a rebellious manner and would not come under subjection, it was for the community to take that child and stone it to death. Oh, I know the world today love to bring stuff like that up and talk about how we're such a violent religion and all that kind of stuff. But you look at what would happen when children were left to rebel against parents, show no respect to anyone. Then they had no respect for authority. They had no respect for the law, whether it's the law of Moses or the law of the land. And they end up being the very ones that are killers, murderers, rapists, everything else. They're out here going wild because of no respect. And so God dealt with that. He said, if you've got a kid you can't control, nobody can handle it, and it shows you nothing but a spirit of the devil, deal with it. Now, we're under the law. We're under the law of grace today, and I'm glad of that. Grace and mercy, and we have grace and mercy, and I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for that. We're not under that law of Moses now. We're under the law of grace. But I want to tell you, God still demands respect out of his people. And he still demands us as brothers and sisters to honor one another. And this morning for us to honor our parents and especially our mothers. That is absolute. That's not, man, you're not covered under the grace of God to show disrespect for your parents, smart off to them, talk about them like they're heathens and everything else. I mean, that's not what you was given grace to do. We want to use grace as a license to do whatever we want to do. No, we're using grace to help us get through the day and overcome our stupidity and ask the Lord to forgive us and help us to get back up. But we got to be quick to ask for forgiveness. And so if you've talked ugly to your mom or dad, your grandmother, your grandfather, you need to make things right with them today. Yeah, you need to make things right with them today. Who else will do for you what your parents will? Who else will do for you what your grandmother, grandfather will that love you? All right? That love you. Now let's look at Jochebed this morning for just a few moments. I am mindful of the time, but I want us to honor our mothers this morning. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived," this is talking about Jochebed now, "and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags of the river's bank. And his sister, the little baby sister, stood afar off to wit what would be done to him," wondering what would be done to him. Here we see that this mother of Moses, as he was born, she seen something about him was special. Now, we know that with our mothers, there's something about us, no matter how ugly we are, how, you know, weird shaped our heads are when we're born and our eyes are crooked and we're all greasy and stuff. They still think that we're wonderful and there's something special about us. Aren't you glad mothers think we're wonderful? And so, here she thought and she seen that he was a goodly child. So she hid him 3 months. Now this has taken place during the time when Pharaoh has deemed it a law that all male children that were born to the Israelite ladies were to be cast into, they were to be killed. Whether they were to be dashed against a wall or thrown into the Nile River, and that's the way many of them were killed. There's history. There's writings on the wall that shows, was not religious writing, it was from Egypt, showing where they were throwing those babies out into the Nile to the crocodiles to allow that river or those crocs to eat those child, swallow them up, or to drown. And this was a law that Pharaoh had made. And so he told his the midwives, "Look, this is what you do when you see those Hebrews having them babies. You take those baby boys, you kill them. You save the girls, you kill the boys." This was going on. Now the midwives didn't do that. And God honored them for that. And so Pharaoh then, he got his soldiers involved. There was a lot of ladies when they had those babies. They knew they had to give that child up. And no doubt they wept and cried as those little babies crying was taken away from them and killed or thrown into that river. Over and over, they watched this for days, months, even years as this took place. And yet, here we see a mother that is now willing to risk her life for her child. All right, and she sees that he's a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months. This could have cost her her life. Hundreds and thousands of mothers were not doing this. Hundreds and thousands of mothers were not doing what she done. They were thinking, well, I've got these children that are alive. I need to take care of them, and I've got my husband I need to take care of. And it's not that we're faulting those other mothers, but here's one that says, I'm willing to die for the protection of this child. See, God knew who he was picking when he picked her. And God knew who he was picking when he picked you, mothers. Ladies, this morning, you're special. You have been chosen to raise your children the way that you are. You've been chosen to get them to the house of God, to teach them what is right. You say, well, you don't understand, Brother Jeff. I didn't do such a great job. But you're here today, and you know the Word of God. And it's not too late for you to throw a line to your children and try to pull them in and try to bring them in out of that river that is about to swallow them up. This river, this Nile River, no doubt about it, spiritually speaking today, it's representing that world out there that is ready to swallow our children. There's things in that world that will devour them. There's crocodiles out there. There's crocodiles of adultery and fornications and drugs, alcohol, of every kind of addiction you can imagine that is literally eating our children alive today. We have this going on all around us. This mother, she said, I'm not throwing that boy to the river. Can you imagine? Some mothers had to do it themselves. They were forced to go out and take that little baby and on their own throw that child out into the river. Others that wasn't willing to do it, the child was taken. And they would take it away from her, maybe jerking it away by a leg and throwing it out in that river. And they watched as that baby left. Over and over. And yet we watch today. As so many mothers of the world that don't know about Jesus, that don't have the understanding of the Lord and of God's love and mercy like we do, they literally daily, on a daily basis, throw their children to the world. They give them up to the world to let anything happen out there that will. There's mothers that'll sell their daughters. There's mothers that'll sell their boys for another hit on crack or cocaine or some sort of a drug. They'll give those babies away for sexual things to get money to do what they want to do and live the life they want to live. There's mothers out there that are not mothers at all, but they simply use those children. They don't care about them. There's mothers out there that'll lock their children out of the door at night and not let them in because they got a boyfriend in the house and they don't want those kids to mess with them. There's babies out there going through a lot of bad stuff, and I don't want to bring us down this morning, but that's the kind of thing that the world does. We don't do that. You may say, I was raised that way. My mama was that way. Well, thank God that you've survived and you're here this morning and you know about Jesus because you don't have to raise your babies that way. You can make a difference in their lives. So many times we think because we was raised a certain way, we gotta pass that on. Well, that's good if it's good stuff, but that's bad if it's bad stuff. Yeah, you don't have to pass nothing bad on to your children. When you were born again, the blood of Jesus broke every curse. And you don't have mama's curse on you. You don't have dad's curse on you. You're not deemed to be an alcoholic whether you want to be or not, or a drug addict. Jesus' blood breaks every curse. And you don't have to be addicted to nothing. You can be set free by the power of God and live a life of victory. You weren't born to be depressed. You wasn't born to be an alcoholic. You wasn't born to be a prostitute. You was born to serve God Almighty. Hallelujah. We got to quit blaming our past and blaming everybody else for our situation, because we've got one whose name is Jesus that is able to break all of that loose from us and let us be men and women of God, holy people in this hour. Here we see that this mother, here's what she done. She knew she was going to have to give that baby up. See, there comes a point with all of us. We know there's going to come a day that those boys, those girls are going to leave us. There's every one of you mamas, you've had to watch maybe children get married, leave home. You knew there's coming a point. You didn't like the idea. You're probably thinking, oh, I can't stand the thoughts of losing my boy. I can only imagine. Sister Reba, she got one child, Michael. Lord, give that baby to her. Amen, he did. As a miracle, wasn't it, Brother Mick? God give that baby to Sister Reba. I can only imagine what she must have been thinking whenever she seen Mike getting older and she knew she was losing that hold on him and he was about to make his journey into the world. And she knew that. You know what? She didn't open the door and kick him out there. She done everything she could to prepare him for that world. And that's what Jochebed did. She knew she's going to have to lose that baby. She knew he was going to be taken. And so she thought, I've got to try to prepare as much as I can to protect my child. And so she began to she built a little ark. She took this little basket of some kind and she began to put slime in it. That stuff that waterproofs the inside. And she bedded it down, no doubt with straw and different things, maybe a little blanket. And she put that pitch on the outside. She made that thing waterproof and sealed it up. She allowed it to be able to get air, but she wanted it to be able to float. She knew that river's where he's going to have to go. We know that our kids are going to get out there eventually, but we got to do everything we can to prepare them for that world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we've got to do what we can to prepare our children. That doesn't mean we lock them down, duct tape them to the floor. It doesn't mean that you force them to do certain things. But you absolutely say, this is the way it's going to be, son, until you leave my home and out from under me. This is the way we're going to do. And you don't do it in a mean way, but you do it in a loving way. But you keep those kids in that place where they have a fighting chance to learn what's right. Yes. Amen. And so here, Jochebed, she got that all prepared. And then she put little Moses in there. She put him in that little ark. And that ark represents Jesus Christ. Amen. That ark represents Jesus Christ. His protection, his ability. Amen. She put him. Oh, can you see that? Today, mothers, you do that when you wrap them prayers around them. Oh, Jesus, help my boy. Oh, Jesus, keep my girl. Protect her, Lord. You're wrapping her in that ark. You're preparing best you can. And Jochebed did that. She put him in there. She got it ready. And then the Bible said, listen to this. It said she daubed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags, in the weeds or in the grass along the edge of the river. She laid it in the flags or the weeds along beside the banks of the river. Hey, she didn't throw her child in, did she? Everybody else did. She didn't. She sent that child into the river very gently. She laid it in there. She put it even in the grass along the edge, trying her best to keep it from getting sucked into that rushing water. Doing all she could, she hid that child, and then she stepped back and left him in the hands of the Lord. There comes a point we've got to trust God to do what we can't do, to go where we can't go, and to protect those children the way we cannot protect them. I want to thank every one of you mothers that love your children, that have taught them about the Word of God, that have done all you could to lay them in there gently and to pray over them and to try to help them to have a fighting chance at life. Your work has not gone unnoticed. God knows your efforts. Yes, He does. He knows your efforts. It doesn't mean that we've been perfect. We may have lost our cool along the way. Maybe sometimes we've been ornery or hateful or aggravated. And we've done different things like that. And we're not ashamed of some of that. But we still love those children. And we're quick to say, Lord, help me to be a better mother, a better father, a better person that I can help here with this situation. And here she did. She laid that child in that river. And we know the story from there. The little sister watched. And sure enough, God guided that little ark right to the right person that would raise that boy and keep him alive. She knew he was a Hebrew boy. She knew that. Pharaoh's daughter knew it. Said, this is one of the Egyptians, or this is one of the Israelite ladies' babies. She said that. But she took it. She said, fine. And turned around, and lo and behold, there's Moses' little sister handy. And she said, find me one of those Israelite mothers to take care of this little child. And so the sister run home and got Mama, got Jochebed. Oh my, how God honors our prayers, ladies. How God honors your prayers, ladies. Amen. God honors you. He honors when you pray over your children. He honors you when you guard them. He honors you when you're careful about what they're taught, where they go, who they hang out with, what they're allowed to do and what not to do. Amen. God honors you for that. Your kid may, your child may misunderstand you. They'll accuse you. Why are you doing this, Mom? You hate me. Why won't you let me go there? Why won't you let me wear this stuff? Why don't you let me listen to that stuff? Why don't you? You're always holding me down. Mom's not holding you down. She's trying to save your life. Amen. Thank God for mamas. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when the prodigal son ran out of money and nobody was there for him and his people and his friends and all of his peeps couldn't have cared less for him anymore, you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to go home. He's got it better at Father's house than here. I guarantee you what he's thinking. He's thinking, Mama's cooking. And she's got some good things there. And Mama, take care of me. Even if I was living in the barn, Mama, do something for me. He wanted to get home to Mama. Most of them boys out there on the battlefield, Brother George, dying. Many of them, as they die, one of the things they call for is Mama. They want Mama. I've heard stories and read things about men weeping on the battlefield at night. One, a man in the Civil War wrote a message home to his people, and he said, last night I slept on the battlefield. It was after, I think, Gettysburg, maybe. Men laying everywhere as the sun went down. A few guns roared in the distance, but on the battlefield where he lay, he couldn't move that night. Didn't know which way to go, what to do, and as he lay there, he heard men groaning and weeping all around him. As he did, over and over, grown men dying in their dying breaths were calling for their mama. You may not think a lot about your mama today, but when you're in trouble, you'll think about her. When you're in trouble, you'll think about her. He said, I didn't have a good mom. You've known a lady in your life that's treated you good. I hope and I pray so. Amen. Amen. There comes a point you think back. Oh, why didn't I listen to Mom? Why didn't I listen to that blessed sister that tried to help me? She was a great friend. I've seen ladies in the church I thought was just the mothers in the church. Mothers you could look to, run to, hug. Amen. I've been calling some of these sisters Mama. Amen. Because I miss my mom and I wish she was here, but I wouldn't bring her back into this mess for nothing. But I look at some of you ladies. Amen. I love you. I think you all, you're my mothers in the Lord and God's blessed us with one another. Let's take advantage of it. Amen. Let's treat each other good. Let's treat each other good. Here today, we've got to understand all that your moms, they deserve our honor. And ladies, we bless you today. We bless you today. Maybe you've never had a biological child yourself. Oh, but your love for Jesus and your love for others make you a wonderful mother. Makes you a wonderful mother. Oh, it does. Maybe your kids are grown and gone. They're grown up. They've left out. They've run and they're doing other things. But if you love the Lord this morning, you're serving Him. You're a wonderful mother. You're somebody that we can run to, lean on, and trust in. I talked to a mother recently that done everything she knew to do. Tried to raise her child right. But that child is strung out on drugs. Doing terrible. When this child is sober, it's a wonderful person to be around. So pleasant. But within just a moment's time, if he can get his hands on the wrong stuff, he'll go down a road that nobody wants to go. He's putting his mother through absolute torment. Absolute torment. I listened to her. She stood and said, "Where did I go wrong?" And I've known her for years. She's always loved those children, always cooked for them, always provided, tried to take them to church, did when they were little. But when they got out and got gone, they got into things that she had no control over. It altered their minds. It changed their attitudes. And now she's blaming herself. Oh, I told her, don't blame yourself. Don't blame yourself. You did what you could. You prepared that child best you knew how. When that child went into the world, they made decisions for themselves. There's a lot of things, maybe, that we wish we could change. But one thing we can do today, we can give you ladies the honor you deserve. We thank you and we love you. here at the Berea Evangelistic Church. We honor you in every way possible. I appreciate Brother Morton doing what he did. Such a blessing to all of us. I'm glad that there's some flowers out in the foyer. As you get ready to go, ladies, get you a flower. Amen. I read this a couple years ago, and I'll share it with you as I get ready to close. It's a little humorous, and at the same time, it's pretty special. This is called When God Created Mothers. When the good Lord created mothers, he was into the sixth day of overtime when an angel appeared and said, "You are doing a lot of fiddling around with this one." The Lord replied, "Have you seen the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but no plastic. She needs to have 180 movable parts, and all of them be replaceable. She has to run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointing love affair. And on top of that, she has to have six hands." The angel shook his head slowly and said, "Six pairs of hands? No way." The Lord went on to say, "It's not the hands that are causing me so much problems. It's the three pairs of eyes that mothers have to have." "Three pairs of eyes?" "Yes. One pair that sees through doors. When she asks the kids, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when all along she knows exactly what they're doing. 'Quit jumping on that bed.' And they're saying, 'Where's she at? She's in another room. How'd she know?' Another in the back of her head to see things she's not supposed to see, but that she needs to see." I've seen that a time or two myself. I've witnessed that. My mom not looking at me at all, and I'd done a little wiggle waggle, and all of a sudden her hand come back, grabbed a piece of my hair, and she go. It's called hair pulling, and it works really good when you're traveling. That shouldn't be recorded. They'll put me in jail for that. That's abuse. All right. And y'all come see me, won't you? Don't pull my hair. And of course, the ones in the front that look at the child when he goofs up, makes a mess of things, and yet without saying a word, her eyes say, "I understand and I love you. I'm so close to creating something like myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger, and can get 9-year-olds to stand under a shower." That's a miracle. Not only can she think, she can reason, and she knows how to compromise at the right times. Finally, the angel bent over and ran his finger across the cheek of the mother. "There's a leak," he said. "I told you were spending too much time on this model." "That's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." The angel said, "What is it for?" And the Lord replied, "It's for joy and sadness, disappointment and pain. It's for loneliness. It is for pride." The angel said, "You're a genius." And the Lord said, the Lord said with a somber voice and look, "I didn't put it there." You know, today, mothers, we honor you for all that you've gone through for us, all that you've endured, for all the times that we've hurt your feelings, for all the times we've forgotten about you, for all the times we forgot to hug you, tell you how pretty you are, to tell you how much that we appreciate your sacrifices for us. Because without you, ladies, none of us would be here. None of us would have survived our young years without you watching over us and protecting us. And for all of that today, we say, Happy Mother's Day, and we love you. Amen. You may stand. Aren't you glad for your mothers this morning? You know, what a wonderful time to be in the house of the Lord and to be able to take time to pray. Maybe this morning you're here, your life's a wreck, you're going through tough times, and you need Jesus in your life. This is a great day for you. This is a wonderful opportunity. God designed this moment in time for you to take advantage of this part of your life. And so we invite all of you to come and pray. If your mom is here, take her by the hand. Kneel at your seat. Come to the altar. But let's just gather around one another. Let's have a word of prayer. Find a place to pray. And if you don't know the Lord, if you're away from Him, He's within a whisper of you right now. He is within your reach. If you just call on His name, He loves you. He cares about you. We love you. Your mothers love you this morning. God bless you. Find a place to pray. Let's talk to the Lord.